When my boys were growing up, they wanted to be big. They would ask me, each and every one of them, whether they were going to be 6 foot tall. Now, as you can see, I need a platform to be able to see you sitting at eye level. I'm 5'7" and a wee bit more. And so my go-to response when they asked me if they were going to be 6 foot tall was, "Gentlemen, God judges you by the size of your character, not by your height." Now, for them, it's good because each of them has actually long since surpassed their father in height. And eventually, it's our intention that they'll surpass their father in stature and character as well. But the truth is, we all want to be big, don't we? We want to be big in all of the ways that people in today's world want. It's more valuable to be tall, isn't it, than to be short. It's more valuable to be popular than to be unpopular. And everyone wants to be the next star, the next idol, the next it, big thing in the world. We value people based on their size and how important they are. And many of us spend our lives seeking to prove our worthiness by who we are and whether our name is known and whether our church is the biggest church in town and whether our pastor is the most popular, whether our ball team is the best. You get the drill, right? We do our job to make sure that the world knows our worth. And if it doesn't, then we're going to show them. You see, all of us want to be big, but it's actually gotten worse. All of us need to be big, and we demand, we believe we're entitled to the fruits that everyone wants. We think we deserve it. We think we deserve, well, everything. We want it all. In fact, we believe that if we don't have it all, then something must be wrong. Our system must be broken. Our nation must be injured. And so we want everything. I want it. I want it. It's about me. Listen to the debates and our political candidates. How many times do our presidents and our leaders use my, me, I? It's getting ridiculous, isn't it? But guess what? They are only mirroring who we are. Everything is about me. It's an entitlement, me-centered culture. But what happens if God doesn't want it to be about me? What happens if the world doesn't revolve around this beautiful face or any of those beautiful faces? Well, we have a way of dealing with that, and it's the second part of our culture today. It's the grievances. Because all of us have a complaint, don't we? We all have something that we're angry about. If only I were taller, I thought. If only I were smarter. If only I were better. Have you ever said that? Think about how we act about what other people have done. Do you realize Congress has just voted that to allow Americans to sue Saudi Arabia for 9/11? We're now allowing individuals to sue countries. Why? Because we have to acknowledge the grievance. Someone has to pay. It is who we are. And honestly, it's always been that way. In Jesus' day, there was always someone to hate. It could have been the Romans. It could have been the Greeks. It could have been the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, or each other. There was a group who had a grievance. There was about a dozen groups with grievances in the dozen followers of Jesus. There were zealots that wanted Rome out. There were tax collectors who wanted the temple out. There were people who wanted each other out. They were vying for position. They wanted to know who was going to be on the right hand of Jesus and who was on the left hand of Jesus. They all had a contention to be the biggest and the best. And it was destroying their world just like it's destroying our world. And Jesus gave them a way out. Jesus told them how to change their world. It was to love each other. And it was to forgive each other. You see, if you want to stop grievance, then you have to learn how to forgive. You have to be able to say, I forgive you and I will not hold it against you. You can't very well sue someone if you forgive them, right? Paul told his followers and the early church not to sue other Christians because it was inappropriate with the understanding of grace. Forgive. And to that, the apostles threw up their hands. They knew what this meant. They knew that if they forgave, then they would no longer be able to hold on to their old animosities. They would no longer be able to jump over someone else based on what they had done. You see, holding a grudge is fun for the person that's holding the grudge. Because I can now be bigger than you at any moment if I hold it against you. Have you ever done this? Someone has wronged you and you hold it. And you use it at the worst possible moment for them. They say, maybe your boss has done something to you. And so you just hold it. You don't say anything about it until you show up late for work. And you show up late for work and your boss says, hey, you're late. What's going on? And you say, but you did, right? Now, as a father of four boys, I hear that all the time. Dad, they did this first, right? They're holding it until they could use it against someone else. We call it lording over someone. It's making yourself big based on what someone has done to you. And they don't want to give that up. It's power over someone else. But it's exactly the wrong kind of power that they seek to use. So the apostles do what most of us do. We say, God, we can't do it. Make us stronger. They say, increase our faith. And then Jesus reminds them that it's not increase that he's after. Because the whole idea that they have bought into is an understanding that the only way they're going to change the world is to make themselves bigger and stronger. We even say this wrongly. When we encourage someone to forgive, we say, be bigger than they are, right? You know what that tells us? That we're in control. That we're the ones that matter. That we count. That we're worthy and they're not. That's what it's communicating. And we all want to be, say it with me, bigger. We all want to be bigger and better and stronger and more worthy than the other person. Have you ever wondered why people think that the church is a group of hypocrites? Maybe it's because even though we are trying to forgive people, we're still trying to be bigger. That even though we say we love someone, it's because we think that we'll be bigger, that we'll be congratulated, that we'll, in doing the right thing, God will say, hey, that Dan Bellavia is such a great pastor. I'm going to give him a special key when he gets to heaven, right? Anything? Hey, folks, here's the truth. What we do we don't do because it'll make us bigger. What we do, how we live, isn't to be bigger. It's to glorify God. And this is why Jesus talks about mustard seed faith. This is why Jesus is telling us that in order to be great, you have to learn how to be a servant. This is why he tells us this weird parable at the end of this. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do incredible things. And then he tells a story, a parable about a master whose servant wanted to actually sit at the main table, right? Do you think that servant's going to get the main table, eat with the master? The reason he tells this story is because most of us think that when we do good things that God somehow owes us. And what Jesus is saying is God doesn't owe you anything. You haven't earned anything. And you're owed nothing. What we do because we're grateful. Kids, think about it this way. Some of us think that we do chores around the house because of our allowance. Do we do chores because of an allowance? Or do we do chores because it's the right thing? It's the cost of living in a house. We've gotten good, each and every one of us, of putting a value to our work, making sure that everyone knows what we've done. I'm guilty of it just as much as anyone else. In fact, there's a part of me that is so tied to this that I will literally kill myself trying to prove that I'm good enough and I've worked hard enough. And I say that not as a sermon illustration, but as a fact. Instead, God is desiring us to serve, to make ourselves smaller. You see, when the disciples said that they wanted greater faith, what they really wanted is they wanted bigger. And they wanted to capture the big of what the world wanted. They wanted to be known and renowned. And Jesus said, it's not about you. It's about God. You are not great because of what you do. You serve a great God. You don't need bigger faith because all you need is the smallest amount, the mustard seed size. All you need is a little bit and the right attitude. You need a little faith and the right God that you're serving with that faith. Jesus didn't come to make us bigger. Jesus came to glorify God and to include us in the great plan that God has. It's a change of mind, isn't it? It's a change of heart. It's a change of who we are. This is why we have an understanding that to be a Christian demands transformation. It demands that we change our perspective. And what the change in perspective allows us to do is this. When I recognize that I have enough faith in even the smallest amount, then I understand that it's only what God does in my life that makes me big. And then I understand something else that helps me to forgive. You see, when you harm me and I get angry at you, I make it all about me, don't I? God wants it to be about God. And God wants me also to love you as much as I love myself. You see, when you forgive someone who asks you to forgive them, you actually repair the relationship. You see, you're as important as I am. And the only way that we can really embrace the bigness of God is for me to understand that what God wants more than anything else is not me to be good or you to be good. It's for us to be good together. It's for us to be joined as followers of Jesus with each other. That's why we forgive. That's why we love, because you are worth something and I am worth something. But it's not about what we have done. It's not about of who we've forgiven or what great things we can accomplish. It's about the fact that together we can follow a great God who brings us to oneness because of his strength, because of his goodness, because of his grace. I love, as a small guy, the promise that even I can be a follower of Jesus if I only would look to him. In a few minutes, we're going to gather around the table for communion. And one of the things that Paul shared with us, we often read the words of institution, but we don't often read the words around the words of institution in 1 Corinthians. And Paul was dealing with a problem in the church. And one of the problems in the church is that people came to communion for their own purposes. They brought sack lunches, and some people ate a lot, and other people ate a little. They went to God to receive this communion, to be together, to have fellowship, and yet they held personal grudges against each other. They failed to forgive each other. And so Paul tells the church that before you go to communion, examine yourself. Prepare your heart and seek forgiveness from the people that you've damaged or that you harmed. We sometimes forget that step when we have communion. Today, I don't want us to forget it. I want us to take a moment, and I want us to examine ourselves. And I want us to be willing to repent, to say, I'm sorry. You can do it in the silence of your hearts. You can do it in a way that maybe, you know, I mean, sometimes Paul says, you know, that Jesus says, before you give the offering, go and apologize to the people that you've harmed. Because that's more important to him than the offering itself. If we take this seriously, then we can heal relationships and grow the body of Christ in community with each other. This is truly the importance of what we do as a church. And it's only accomplished if we're willing to lay down the grudge, forgive, and take that mustard seed faith and allow God to grow it. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given to us an answer to the crises of the world, an answer that allows us to lower ourselves in you and to be raised in faith. Lord God, the great tragedy of our world today is that so many of us want to be big. We want the world to be about us when it's really about you. Lord God, help us to come to a place where we can glorify your name in all that we do, when it's not about us, but about you working in us. Let the world see less of us and more of you. And let the church see less and bring a big God into it. Lord God, help us to make you great, even if it means bowing the knee, showing humility, and living a small life in a big world. Lord God, forgive us and help us to always rely on you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who lowered himself to suffer and die for us, we ask it. Amen.